Hello, Simon Parks here with another radio show for Connecting Consciousness. Today is the 14th, and this show should go out live tomorrow, Sunday the 15th. Andy, who does all the web material, is away at the moment, and it's just taking him a little bit longer. Last show, we had the audio followed by the video, so please be patient, and hopefully we'll get it all sorted. The white cat is in queue, and once again, I have to say to you, you know, I really didn't go around and position him like that. It's just the way he is. So thank you very much indeed for joining me. I'm going to start with the updates, but before we go with the updates, there was one comment that was written, and I had to smile. And the comment said that the room behind me is always very cluttered, and a cluttered room is a cluttered mind. Absolutely right. I mean, I have so much going on in my mind, so many issues, so many things. It really is quite full, but the room's not cluttered. It's just nicely organized. I know where everything is. And if it were totally cluttered, there wouldn't even be a room for the cat. Right, off we go then. So first of all, I want to talk about United Kingdom or Great Britain. We've had the visit by the President of the United States, who met the British Prime Minister, the Queen, and in his spare time, he managed to get a few rounds of golf in. Been quite a number of interesting high-profile demonstrations. Will have absolutely zero effect, but nevertheless, I think they were quite fun. The meeting between himself and the Queen was important because it's always seen as vital that the monarch of England or Great Britain meets whoever is the president. That might be the only time they ever meet. Certainly won't be the only time that President Trump meets a British Prime Minister, but I think probably his visit with the Queen is probably it now. So that's something quite interesting. I want to go to the Supreme Court. Those of you who've been following this know that the Supreme High Court judge resigned, and presidents are allowed to nominate their own appointees. It's always been the way, although it does have to go through the House. It does have to be ratified. And in President Trump's case, he nominated a Brett Kavanaugh. And barring some disaster, that guy should be rubber stamped in. That will give what's known as the right conservatives, the right wing, although the term conservative in the United States does not mean the same as the conservative in Great Britain. But nevertheless, it would give Trump a majority of one or two on the Supreme Court. And I and other commentators have been saying that and he's holding back until this person's in the position, and therefore he can do some actions that we're all waiting for. So we'll have a bit of a timeline for this. It's not set in stone. But basically, looking at the much-vaunted indictments, the 30,000-plus indictments and the hoped-for arrests that will come from that, I've always said that was dependent on him obtaining a majority in the Supreme Court. But what we could probably see is from the end of the holiday period, which is probably at the end of August, some form of arrests. There have been lots of talk in the alternative media or the truthful media about people being arrested, but precious little evidence of that. Although we have had some very true cases that have been arrested, but they've not been meaningful people in terms of the great movers and shakers. Hopefully in September we will begin, beg your pardon, end of August, we should begin to see some, if not household names, names that many of us might recognize, begin to have some indictments read out against them. So that, I think, is the beginning of a process of this much vaunted list of sealed indictments being opened. In September, there may well be what I would call a drawing down of the truth in regard to a number of worldwide events, and the 9/11 situation might be one of them. What this means is that some approval has been granted to talk about 9/11 in a way that not doesn't mirror the official line at the moment. Excuse me. So whilst it's very hazy, there is a real opportunity of a number of items, not just 9/11, but a number of items where an alternative view is going to be put out with an official spin on it. So that's something worth watching for. It is the hardest subject at the moment because 9/11 still is traceable back to a number of people who are still very much alive, if not in office, very much alive. So it's doubtful that the full truth will come out at this stage, but what I do expect is some form of drawing down of the truth, beginning to question the official line. So that's something. Then in October, we always go towards the economy crash, ever since the Babylonian money system was created in the Western world. It's always been maybe the what we call autumn, what the Americans call the fall, that sees many Western economies at their weakest. Most financial crashes occur in the fall, in the autumn period. And this October, as in every other October for the last 4 or 5 years, is again offering some possibility of that crash, to the point that the official group in Washington are beginning to want to address it. So in other words, what we might see in October is some preempting of a situation, and we're going to go straight on to Angela Merkel in Germany now. And for the last 3 years, Deutsche Bank, which has been the linchpin whether Europe stands or falls economically, has been saved at the 11th hour. If it wasn't a Qatari government saving them, then it was somebody else buying bonds, or it was a very swift deal done in terms of monies that were locked away in the bank and no one could draw on them. I think the point has been reached now where there isn't any more reserves. We also have a situation where Angela Merkel nearly lost her position. She was saved, my understanding is, by one vote. And there's a very strong possibility of another real move towards an insolvent position, certainly in Germany generally, but maybe in Europe specifically, one or two countries. Angela Merkel, very much a member of NATO, the United Nations. These are organizations that have been and still are largely funded by the United States government. It's not widely known that the United States government pays most of the salaries for all the thousands of people who work at the United Nations. If the Americans were to pull out that, the UN would collapse. Most of the hardware in NATO is not necessarily American, but the resupply of that equipment is. So if the Americans were to reduce their support for NATO, what that would do is not just take the US troops and hardware out of the front line, but in terms of all of the material backup that the Americans would supply to France, Germany, Britain, that presumably would also go. So there are a number of individuals now very concerned at American stance. Americans, quite rightly actually, are saying to Europe, you've got to pay for your own defense. Why are you asking us to put tanks and missiles on the border of Russia when there's absolutely zero possibility of Russia invading Europe, although certain European governments are talking that up. So we're going to see some very strong footplay, I think, as the Americans begin to want to reduce the amount of money they place into the United Nations and in NATO. Also, the elite groups or cabalistic committees that sit around the planet, America is beginning to withdraw from those. And that's a very important political sign, so that's very important. Now I'm going to look down on my notes now, because there is a gentleman that Benjamin Fulford has mentioned, and I've received not exactly the same information, but similar, and I want to get the gentleman's name right because he's deceased, he's passed on. His name was Wang Jian, and he was a Chinese businessman, and he was a chairman of the HNA group of companies in China. And what Benjamin reports, and I agree with, is that this chap, whilst he was on holiday in France with his family, met his death. I believe it was a murder, and I think so does Benjamin Fulford, although the officials are saying there was an accident. And I'll have to read the report from the police, because it's absolutely stunning. The official police report said that Mr. Wang Jian stood on the edge. I'm not joking, this is exactly the report. Mr. Wang Jian stood on the edge of a very sheer drop to get his family to take photographs of him, and he fell off to his death. What it turns out is this gentleman was on the verge of becoming a whistleblower. He had signed, or was on the verge of signing, some form of protectionist deal that he would name certain individuals for certain financial irregularities, and it looks like that someone didn't want his name to be brought into it. Now, what Benjamin Fulford didn't mention was that this gentleman had a large stake in Deutsche Bank. He was a shareholder in Deutsche Bank, and I think that you can begin to put one and one together there. So that's the actual wind-up of the major news. It's actually largely positive. This is the lull before the storm in terms of the politics. It's all over to President Trump now. The ball is in his court. As we go through the summer holidays, I expect to see things happening. And frankly, if they don't happen, then what will have happened is that he's failed to strike while the iron was hot. He will have his opportunity for the rest of this year. If he doesn't do what many of us want him to do, he's probably lost his opportunity. So it's now or never, really. Back to more mundane and local matters. I was very pleased to attend Kerry Cassidy's conference in High Elms in North London. And there were some great speakers there, and a lovely audience, as there always is, and it's a great venue. And if you were there and you didn't really get a chance to talk to the speakers, you know, well, maybe next time. I tell you why I like that venue is because the windows can be opened, and in a hot day it can be quite cool. There were some black helicopters overhead, and I think Kerry does put this out on YouTube after a while, or it goes on her site and you can access it from her site. But there were psychic attacks, and we'd been warned beforehand that there were some either EMF weapons or something being used. Sure enough, during my presentation, you will hear my voice almost disappearing. And I said to the group that you know, there was an attack going on, and I was very aware of it. Miles Johnson, who was there, actually did, I don't know if he took any photographs, but he and others saw the helicopters over the head while I was doing my talk. I was absolutely determined to carry on. So if you do watch that, then apologies. That's why my voice was being the way it was. All right, so I think that will be the end of our roundup. I'm going to go over to Becky now and ask her very kindly to pick up where we left off and to do some questions, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Our first question is from Annette, who says, I would like to know what will happen to those who have died and gone to the light when this horrible system breaks down. Are they released too, and what does it mean to them in that case? I have thought about this for a long time.
I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. We always talk about the light and who's behind it and what the process is, but to my knowledge, no one's asked me that. My understanding, and those who have been through this process, will know that there is a holding area. After you enter the light period, there is a holding area, and then you are released into a body. The difficulty is that often the bodies that you are released into are not the ones that you would have chosen. Whilst I think there's a bit of truth, there certainly is a bit of truth in the New Age version that some people incarnate here into an abusive family to experience that, I don't accept that as the full truth. I think that many people come here and they are hijacked, and they are moved into a family line that's going to try and control them physically. You can't control a soul, but you can close them down. So often that's the case. So this holding area can last for minutes, months, years, decades. Anybody who is in the holding area when this infernal machine is turned off, there's two of them, but when they stop, that whole control system will just dissolve, and those souls will immediately incarnate either on the earth or somewhere else. So what will happen to them is they will immediately find a form of a body to live in. So it will be an immediate release. Best way to describe it would be opening the cage door and all the birds flying out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Flash says, do you see a worldwide crash coming? If so, how long do you see it lasting? And are the Anunnaki still running the planet today?
Two questions. You know, if you go on YouTube or in any of the sites, you'll see that people have been predicting a crash for years because they know that the system that we have around us is just built on sand. It's not a sustainable system, but it is being propped up every so often by huge injections of fake money or dodgy deals that take away the stimulus that would have brought that down. Last year or the year before, I talked about time being stretched and how the bad guys had got the capability to somewhat stretch time. They took that as far as they could. Then we saw all the deals around Deutsche Bank. From a European perspective, if Deutsche goes, then most of the banking system would go, not all in one day, but in a domino effect. President Trump arriving on the scene somewhat changed the timeline for any collapse in America, and indeed it put the emphasis on Britain. If you look at the stock market at the moment, they're both quite high. America's just gone back, the Dow Jones, to the 25,000 mark. It had been as high as pushing 27,000, took a big drop, but is now picking back up again. And the British stock market's, I think, about 7,500, which makes a mockery of the trade war. You know, all the tabloid newspapers, the papers for the unawake and unaware people talking about doom and gloom and a trade war. Well, the people who obviously know all this, the guys and some women, but mostly men, who put trillions and billions of dollars into gambling on the stock market, they don't have any concern about a trade war. Otherwise, the stock market would have completely gone down. So any crash to the economy is not going to come as it normally does through the stock market as such. It will come through the banking system. If you look at the Wall Street crash and other crashes, those were engineered by individuals who wanted to clean up after the event. Any forthcoming crash will not be orchestrated by the same group of people. Indeed, it won't be orchestrated in the same way, and is largely out of the control of the cabal. Hence why they don't want to crash. They're not going to profit out of it. What they've been doing is trying to strip the assets for the last 2 years plus heavily, because they know that there is a crash coming and they can't prevent it, or they can't manipulate the crash to the time of their choosing. Earlier in the update, I talked about Angela Merkel and Germany and Deutsche Bank. We know that in October it's slated for some form of conference or opening of messages regarding the true economic situation on this planet. There may well be a debate around blockchain. There could be a debate about America moving to a silver or a gold-backed currency. Remember, talk of leaving the Fed cost JFK his life. So that's a very, very difficult subject. But certainly, we may find some form of crash this October, preceded by or followed after by some form of statement from the US. So the answer is yes to that. The Anunnaki is completely separate. Are they still in control? Well, their descendants are, yes. That's why you have people like Mr. Wang Jian falling to their death, who were about to be a whistleblower. If the bad guys were no longer in control, then people wouldn't be falling to their deaths. So yes, they're still there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Paul says, dear Simon, can you update us on the flyby of the Nibiru system? What will be the impact on our planet? I've heard from other sources this flyby is expected before Christmas this year, and benevolent ETs are stabilizing the energies of the sun and protecting our planet from extremes of temperature that Nibiru poses as it passes our Earth, especially from impact of meteors in the tail of the Nibiru system. Many prayers and kind regards, Paul.
Thank you. There is quite a lot of truth in what Paul's saying there. It's not the full picture, but there's enough there to have a serious debate over. I don't want people to think of Nibiru as a comet. What happens is when a very, very large body passes through a debris field, it will attract that some of that debris to it. And as that debris is dragged across the Earth's gravitational field, that which is smaller can be pulled off by the Earth's gravitational field and could fall to Earth. So it would not be a deliberate attack on the Earth. It would just simply be a physical thing here where the large objects are trailing behind Nibiru, hits the Earth's gravitational field, and some of them, just some of them, are pulled off and would fall. Less positive about the rising of the temperature on the Earth. I'm not so concerned about rising of temperature. I am more concerned with some alterations to our water level. Do not believe in great tidal waves, but can see some alteration in the waves. I ran up to October of this year where we're hoping for some form of statement regarding the economic situation on the planet. Any flyby, can we call it that, by a foreign body would have to be November, December, and that's not been slated or scheduled for. This object is on the radar, not the radar of Earth, but the special radar that the Secret Space Program has. Benevolent ETs becoming involved, yes, absolutely, but also negative ETs becoming involved, because neither side would wish to see the Earth destroyed for totally different reasons. Serious disruption on the Earth would reduce the flow of energy to the negative entities. Serious disruption on the Earth would destroy life and limb, which would upset benign entities. So if any foreign object should come dangerously close to the Earth, there'll be plenty on hand to try to push it away or to save the situation. So I don't have any worries about it, but I will confirm that this is a very strong possibility, but I'm not living in fear on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sananda asks, what are your thoughts on the Silver Legion?
It's funny. It's a term that I've heard a long time ago and hadn't heard of it for a while. I think probably the problem is that there are a number of quite mundane groups which have taken that name, especially in America, because silver is the metal that was mined, the silver dollar, and it has quite a punchy, I don't know, there may even be sports clubs or rifle clubs called things like that. But in its true sense of the word, my understanding was a group of human people who leave their body mostly at night time, but not exclusively so, and in an energy form they undertake missions which are supportive of the Earth. They are hierarchical in their structure. They are tasked with different roles. I have met one of these people. I believe them to be benign, so I'm very supportive of it, so I believe it's true, and these individuals don't physically don armour and weapons and go and do it. They are taken from their body, or they go willingly from their body, and they work in the form of energy. This is where the battle perhaps is being fought. So yes, I'm aware of them. I haven't really come across it a great deal. But I do believe them to be beneficial to humanity. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. This next person, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Anemin It's spelled A-N-N-E-M-I-J-N.
Okay.
She says, or he says, "Dear Simon, very happy that you're back in the air. Thank you. Recently, I've been studying monarchies, specifically the Dutch one. I've discovered that the members of the Van Oranje-Nassau family refuse to take a DNA test. The claim that supports this refusal is that they are not sure whether they are direct descendants of the first King Willem I. I'm curious about whether this is really the case. My guess is that the real reason might be that they have alien DNA that wouldn't match with our human DNA. What are your thoughts on this matter?"
Well, thank you. I like your terminology, back in the air. I don't think I'll ever be in the air, on the air. Well, maybe one day I will be in the air, who knows. It is interesting because it's not a legal requirement, but there's been a lot of talk in that country about the rightful claiming of the of this, and it doesn't really help if you do a lie detector test or a DNA test, because it always leaves open the possibility of it being altered or cheated or tricked, unless it's done under the most strictest conditions. There could be a very 3D reason if a individual or group of individuals fears that their claim to a royal line can be disproved, then certain benefits that that person enjoys could be removed. Now, in the Low Countries, those benefits are greatly reduced as opposed to the monarchy of England. And the benefits to the monarchy of England are tremendous, astronomical, huge. So it would be more to do, I think, with culture or tradition that they would want to try to not take that test. Now, interesting on the alien DNA line, most people have alien DNA in them. So nearly everyone who takes a DNA test for whatever reason would find the organization writing to them saying that there was 1%, 2%, or possibly 3% which they couldn't match. Now, that's as far as organizations go. They'll say 2.5 or 3% of your DNA we couldn't match. That means alien, but they can't say it. Why can they not match it? If it's human, they'll match it. So it's one of these things that needs to be blown open with the truth. You know, stop pussyfooting around and actually say, you've got 3% alien in you or 4% alien. But at the moment, it's just, we can't match it. I think the average coming back for most people, and this is anecdotal evidence, I haven't obviously got access to any of this stuff, but anecdotally, it's about 3%. So if you get one of these family DNA tests and you do it, it come back at more than 3%, then you're carrying quite a lot of alien genetics. And remember, this is not energy genetics, it's physical genetics, because the laboratory is testing for physical DNA. What was the rest of that question, Becky? I don't, the final bit? I thought there was a two-parter to it.
I'm sorry, let me just go back to it.
It was about whether they, that's okay, it was whether they have got it, it was whether they would. So I don't know that that's the issue, because if the company wrote back to the royal family there in that country and said, you've got 7% that we can't identify, they wouldn't share that with the public anyway, and the private company doing it wouldn't share it. All they would do is confirm that yes, this person is a direct descendant of, you know, William the First. That would be the actual king. So it's probably actually a lot to do with their control of the name and the title rather than concern about alien genetics. Thank you. Good question.
Okay, thank you. Chris asks, are blood banks supplying blood to the elite? When receiving a blood transfusion, is there any kind of transference of information stroke energy between the blood donor and the receiver? What kind of information is being
could
stored?
Could we just, yeah. Sorry,
okay.
Because it's very
three,
complicated.
Three questions.
Yeah, yeah. First one first. The answer is no. Well, the answer is no and yes. Let me answer it directly, no. If you go to a general hospital and you give blood, that is not going to the elite. The elite have their own places. The elite, being elite, wouldn't take the blood from someone they didn't know and hadn't been screened and approved. So that's not happening. The elite have their own way of obtaining blood through a non-trackable system. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a strong possibility that blood genuinely donated was finding itself to other individuals who are not human. But that's not so much the case now, my understanding is. In terms of transference of information, yes. Yes, you put in blood from another person into you, and the information that's contained on that becomes written into your own code. That's one of the major reasons, not explained, but is my major reasons why Jehovah's Witnesses and many Jewish people generally, the very strong religious group, won't take a blood transfusion, because that is overwriting or addition to their own code. So, you know, it is a fact that Jehovah's Witnesses are technically not allowed to have a blood transfusion, even if it means they will die or one of their beloved will die, because it's against their religion. And that's the reason why, because it would overwrite it. What was the third part, Becky?
What information is being stored in our DNA energy signatures from blood donations?
Because it's a physical medium, it doesn't contain the highest levels. In your DNA, in the electrical makeup, in the energy DNA, it is at the highest level it's being stored. But when we look at the physical transference of information around the body, which is chemical or through the blood, it is a lower level of information that's being sent around. Remember, of course, that the cabal, the elite, refer to the term bloodline. And so that is the line they're interested in as much as the soul. So enough information is passed across. I'll give you an example. If you were to have a blood transfusion, you potentially could start to have a past life memory of somebody that you weren't, but the donating blood was. And that, again, is a problem, because you quite understandably would say that, well, that's my past life. Well, it isn't, because it's you now. But if we were to look before the blood transfusion, that information wasn't there. So a transfusion of blood can mix other lifetimes and other memories and bring them into your life, into your world. So that's the sort of information that can pass across. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Sharon says, "Hi Simon, I wanted to ask you if you have ever heard of or know about an organisation called SCAN, Secret Coalition for American Nationalism. Could be a generic term for the overlords, as I was reading Sylvia Brown's book, Secret Societies, and her spirit guide Francine says this group comprises of 22 people who have fingers in every conceivable pie that carries influence in the world. They command and manipulate organisations such as CFR, TC, and BG. Sylvia Brown was a psychic trance medium. Her guide also says there are 44 universes. Pat your back.
Sorry.
And Francine also says that this group are so powerful they can regulate economics, world trade, wars, and elections.
Right. Right, this is true, to my knowledge. It's a group within a group. In other words, if you take the Bilderberg group, or you take the Council of the Rothschilds, this is an established group that physically meets and produces minutes and is reported on in the press. They don't know what to talk about, but the fact that they meet. What you're referring to is a group of individuals who are members of these groups, but they have loyalty to their own group. It's a bit like a, if you go back in time, the Americans will understand me, a Minuteman group. It's a group that's very patriotic to the point of being nationalistic, with their own rules and agendas. So they don't actually run groups, but they infiltrate groups. Now, the Council for Foreign Relations, which I think you gave the letters for there, they don't run that group, but they have appointees. They are nominated into that group. So they have a vote, for want of a better word. They're seen as, by the cabal, they're seen as a bit of a maverick. They're seen as a group that you have to keep an eye on because they don't play the same game. But they are tolerated because they are very powerful individuals in their own right, and they are a focus for movement of energy. So in other words, if you wanted to do something and you didn't want the label of Bilderberger behind it, you might push something their way and get them to push it somewhere else. So it's a very real group, but it's a group of individuals who exist in other entities in terms of corporate entities, not alien entities, corporate entities. But those individuals, whilst supporting the corporate group they're in, their real agenda is a very... originally, it was America first, and then it became sort of more to do with the vision first. So, yes, thank you. I think that's the first question I've had on that topic. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Natalia says, "Dear Simon, what is the role of South America in all these matters? It seems to me that we are not part of the world, yet we hide interesting things. Is that so? Thank you, Natalia from Argentina."
Right, well, the last time I think I spoke about South America was probably the back end of last year. South America has a huge role to play in major history, you know. I bought a book. I do have time to read books sometimes. Well, I buy the books. I don't always read them. I don't get past page 10, maybe. But there was a book on Hitler, and I thought, I'll have a read of this, because when I read the back of the book, it seemed to be a little bit more open, a little bit more challenging towards the official view. Here we are, 2018, and the official view on every book or every DVD or anything is that Hitler committed suicide. That's exactly the way it's being sold. And yet, what does actually annoy me is that officially, Joseph Stalin, some six weeks after the war, declared that Hitler wasn't dead. Some 6 months later, again reiterated that Hitler wasn't dead. You have MI5 believing that Hitler wasn't dead. You had lots of very useful reports that seem fairly accurate, not just saying he'd escaped to Argentina, but actually giving the route from which he made that escape. And those of you who've listened to me in the past, you'll know that both my grandmother and my grandfather both were of the opinion that Hitler did not commit suicide, but was spirited away. So Argentina, which has a very large German population to this day, and there are streets that are named after German streets, and their houses are very Austrian or German built. So Argentina is a country in South America, and that has a very important role to play because of the connections of all the German gold that Eva Perón had. When Mr. Perón died, Eva took on and did the work with. Look at the situation with the economy in many South American countries, where they say that the oil-rich countries have not managed their resources very well. Certain presidents have been accused of this, that, and the other, and there are food shortages and riots. And yet, some of these countries have the potential to be within the top 6, 7, 8 countries on the world in terms of its financial capabilities or its economic production capability. South America has always played second fiddle to the North Americas. But that doesn't mean that they're not important. You go back further in the history, you have the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the Incas. And these were people who were influenced by a negative overlord, but they took minimal damage because their connection to the planet. So that's no surprise that we have pyramids in South America. So what's the situation today? The situation today is that the last great playing out was our Ollie North, President Bush, when the gun deal and the drugs deal were being done. And since then, the governments of the world have been very cautious about how they deal with South America. So would say that the narcotics trade was still quite prolific, but not as prolific as it was. A number of people are looking to jump ship and hide in South America. So going back to our earlier point, maybe when some of these indictments are opened, people might do that. But it's no good if that country's got a policy to extradite back to North America's. However, there are a number of countries there that are prepared to hide people. So South America's are important, but they're not militarily important, they're not politically important, but they are economically important. And of course, they have people who are suffering greatly at the moment. So it does need to be on our agenda. Thank you for your question.
Thank you. Betty says, "Greetings, Simon. Glad you're back. Can you explain what is happening if I'm not able to remember dreams? I feel blocked from them. Thank you. Love and light."
I can't explain why you're blocked. I can probably give some pointers or some help here. If a person is very active when their physical body is asleep and they are leaving their physical body and they are undertaking work or whatever it is, then their mind doesn't need to dream in the same way as somebody that doesn't. When you have a normal dream, there's a whole host of things that are going on here, from just releasing energy, clearing the decks, to trying to remind you of something, trying to pass information to the conscious mind, which only works if you remember it when you wake up. But there are a whole host of those. Now, if you're actually leaving your body and doing things, the need to do that isn't the same. So if you have a mundane dream, call it a mundane dream, that's exactly what it was. It was a dream, exactly what the psychologists or the doctors would say to you. But if you have a dream that is remarkable in the topic, the subject matter, then it's most likely that you're having a video played out of either something that's happened in the past, is yet to happen, or has happened to somebody else. If you're not remembering your dreams and you are dreaming, then they're being blocked. The question is whether you're blocking them for self-preservation, and whether a block has been put in there to prevent you from accessing your higher consciousness. Not your higher self, but your higher conscious mind. So without more information, I couldn't tell you which of those it was. Not everybody dreams, and not everybody remembers their dreams, so we can't just jump to a conclusion. But if you consistently, month after month, don't have any recollection of a dream, then I would say that that's a bit suspicious. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bob says, "Not a question, just so glad you're back on the air. Love your show."
Oh, thank you, Bob. That's very kind of you. I'm glad to be back. It's nice to be back, as they say. I don't know what else I would do, really. And, it's trying to get the truth out there, trying to speak to people, trying to connect, trying to join some of the dots together, trying to just support people and say, you have experiences. They may be off-planet experiences. They may be experiences when you were younger. It does happen. You mustn't think you're mad, or you mustn't feel isolated. I have always tried to be a voice of reason. I've always tried to let people know that we're not on our own. There are plenty of people like us who are all rooting for the good side to win. It's just that we don't have such a loud trumpet as the bad guys. So, that's the way we are. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Mirella says, "Hi, Simon. So glad you're back. Thank you for finding a way to get back on the air again. Love your work. I visit your website daily. My question is, do you know anything about the Bosnian pyramids? I was investigating online and they are about 25,000 years old and emit electrical energy at the peak that was measured by engineers. The mainstream science wants to debunk this. I think they are hiding a big part of our history. The Bosnian recent war in the 90s has caused so much suffering. The same people want to start another war. Do you think a war will restart? Thanks, Mirella.
Several questions in that.
Basically about, do you know anything about the Bosnian pyramids and will there be another Bosnian war?
Okay, well, that's the beginning and the end. You missed all the middle bit out. All right, well, okay. Let's start at the beginning. I think most people will have a knowledge of the Bosnian pyramids. The difficulty here is that they appear to be natural. They appear to be natural because unlike the pyramid in Egypt, which is limestone blocks, perhaps one or two granite blocks at the bottom, but mostly limestone blocks, it can't be argued because you can see each block is carved and put into place. The pyramids that are being referred to here are covered in grass or vegetation, and therefore appear to be natural. My view has always been quite clear that they are not natural. They are artificially built. The angles of them are just not, in my opinion, just not natural. You can't get those angles in nature. It just wouldn't work. Angles can be formed by wind, air, ice, erosion, but not consistently. The wind doesn't always blow in the same way. The grains of sand that blow don't always go the same way. So first of all, from a physical point of view, no, I don't believe they're natural. Some of them are about 700 and something feet tall. They're actually taller than the Great Pyramid. You talk about the measuring of the energies that were the resonation or the cycles coming from them. They were quite high, but they weren't consistently high. I believe as the scientists went up the pyramid, the major one in Bosnia, they measured different cycles. It actually increased as it went up. That's my understanding. Time frame, you asked about the time frame. I believe that the establishment, as far as they're prepared to go, is 12,000 years, and they don't like that because that's back to the Ice Age. And that would obviously predate the official date of the Great Pyramid. But the officialdom, when they quote anyone talking about it, they'll normally talk about 12,000, which is nonsensical, because the ice melted on this planet about 10,500 BC. If you go to back 12,000, let's say 12,000 BC, you'd still have a lot of ice and inundated. You're not going to build a pyramid then. You build a pyramid prior to that. The same with the Great Pyramid at Giza. You're looking at 20 to 25,000 years BC for these pyramids. Pyramids are built with a number of reasons. We could do a whole show on pyramids. In fact, why don't we? JP used to always tease the audience by saying, why don't we do a show on this? And we could do a show on that. It never happened. I'm not about teasing people. So basically, yeah, we'll do one on the pyramids. I'll schedule it in. We'll ask people to write in with their pyramid questions, or those of you who've been to the pyramid, please write in and tell me your experiences. That would be really fascinating. I haven't been in this lifetime. I've been in a previous lifetime, but not in this lifetime. So that's something that we'll schedule. We'll put it on the website, then you can write in with that. So back to this, Bosnian pyramids, absolutely yes. All of that part of Europe, very important. Think about the important underground base in Romania. Think about all of the links between Transylvania and Dracula, blood-sucking, drinking entities. All of that area is very important and has a great deal of experience. Was there any final bits about a war?
Yeah. Do you think a war will restart?
My immediate thought is absolutely zero, no, because was it 100,000 people were killed and wounded in that war? What was the old Yugoslavia? Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
Places like that. The question is, with something like that, what could be gained from it? No, I don't foresee that happening. I think what's much more important is is the leadership of the what we call the Eastern European countries maneuvering whether they're going to be part of the Western world or the Russian sphere. We talked earlier about the potential for America to pull its billions out of NATO and the UN. If that occurred, most of Eastern Europe would immediately jump ship from America, or I beg your pardon, from Europe. Let me get my words right. It's Europe, not America. And from the European Union, from the United Nations, from NATO, and they would go back and join the Russians. What brought people across to the Western was cheap denim jeans, satellite television, motor cars, etc., etc., capitalism. And for many of these people, they realized that capitalism was just for the elite, and many of the elite under the old system became the elite under the new system. Oh yeah, sure, there are people who had nothing and made something, and good luck to them, well done. But there are a great deal of people who saw this change occur and are no better off. So when we replace one field of energy with another, there are winners and losers, and this is the problem on this planet. We tend to think in positive, negative, black, white, male, female. We need to have a different way of measuring and of giving out energy. It mustn't be so polarized. So no, I don't foresee another war in that area. Thank you.
I visited Yugoslavia in the 90s before before the war, and there was incredible hyperinflation at the time. I hope there's never going to be another war there. Beautiful people, really lovely, very friendly and genuine.
So that was the dinar. Is that right? The money, was it the dinar?
I think so. I can't remember. It's a long time ago.
So it was a little bit like what happened in Germany, 1929.
Yeah, as soon as people got their pay packets,
1923.
They would literally throw them out the windows to their partners who'd buy bread and furniture and anything they could, because by the end of the day it would be worth a tenth or a hundredth of what it was worth in the morning.
Yes. 1929 saw a crash, but nothing like the 23 crash. So that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll just go back to the questions.
Yep. We're still doing very well. We've still got 10 minutes left of our hour, so that's great.
Grey Wolf asks, or says, in my view, people from India are visibly more spiritually enlightened than other races. Who, in your knowledge, are the ancestor star race of the Asian Indians?
Well, it would be very difficult to say that one particular group were more favoured than another group. I mean, the Jewish race do this. They call themselves the chosen race. There are a number of other religious cultural groups that, you know, claim special favour because of their linkage. It's true to say that India could be seen as one of the homes for spiritual enlightenment. Think about some of the key Beatles from the pop group who would have their gurus and go there. Many, many business people will go to India for enlightenment, whether it's a session in a hideaway for a while, or whether it's to meet an individual. It has this reputation. It has the reputation because there have been a number of individuals right through its history who have forsworn the physical world, forsworn the material world. It's very difficult, you know, to live in a cave on top of a mountain these days. You can't do it. But likewise, you shouldn't be driving around in a large limousine and have many houses and be very wealthy. Those two don't square. You have to try and find a middle ground. You have to try to survive but not become part of the control system. So I do agree that India is a place that does seem to produce some very, very gifted and spiritual people. Doesn't have the monopoly on it, but it does produce them. And why? Because of the alien race who not fathered the people of India, but taught them. Unlike some of the other Western countries that were taught by a reptilian or a part reptilian culture, the Indian culture was taught by a group of higher humans from a higher dimension than the fourth, who tried to teach something that was somewhat more cooperative. There had been entities prior to that that were fourth dimensional into the Indian culture, but the more recent injection of a higher frequency sort of balanced it out. So that's my best way to describe it. So I can part agree with what you're saying, yes. Thank you.
Okay, and amazingly, the next question is also about India.
Yeah.
Mike asks, "Hi Simon, thank you for your previous shows and best wishes for your new show. I'm interested in anything you might know about the serpent beings in India, the Nagas, who are said to be extraterrestrial and have been visiting and communicating with Indian sages for many thousands of years up until this day. I read that they communicate in snake-like hissing tones, which the sages seem to be able to understand, and that they travel by means of glowing orbs."
Well, I mean, I promise everybody, I don't go through these questions.
No, that was amazing.
Yeah, so it's meant to be. This is the first group that I've just mentioned. This is the first group that appear as a serpent. They don't hiss, but a lot of the sounds to our ears have a sort of a S sound to it, as indeed do some of the reptilian sounds that we could hear in our mind. There's no doubt that these original groups did pass very valuable information to those that they chose to be party to. Take the Judeo-Christian character, Noah. Noah was part human and part alien, and they didn't just impart the information there was a great flood coming to some random guy who was digging a garden, or they actually went to the person that they had created and considered their children and said to him, you've got to save yourself and your family because there's a massive flood coming and we don't want to see you destroyed. We've got a lot of investment in you. And in the same way, in other places, entities that are not of this earth have some form of commitment or stake, sometimes it's a better word, will come to that person and communicate with them. But what we've seen in India on the spiritual side is I don't want to use the word war because that's wrong, but a conflict now between the spiritual individuals in India and not the Indian government per se, but the spread of capitalism, the spread of greed that has really got hold in India now. And if you are Indian or you've been to that country and you know it well in the last 20, 30 years, you perhaps will connect with what I'm saying to you. So the spiritual message coming from India is actually now quite at odds and quite stark with what is going on in the economy or the business arm of India. That is why, for instance, it's great that people, like Sikhs give 10% of their wages towards good causes. Other groups give to charity. And that's a way of ensuring that you are passing through your life continually committed service to others, just as much as you are to ensuring that you and your children are well. So in India, there is a strong tradition to help those that are less well off. But unfortunately, there is an Americanization of India, which is not perhaps the best thing. It's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Joyce says, "When someone has multiple personalities, who are these beings that come through to help the person live more fully? While some are aspects of self, do others come from past lives or other dimensions?"
Could you please just read the first sentence again?
Mm-hmm.
Just the first sentence.
"When someone has multiple personalities, who are these beings that come through to help the person live more fully?"
Right. I don't agree with in most cases that somebody with multiple personalities has beings or is holding beings that are coming through to a system. In my experience over the last 8 years, the vast majority of people with what's called multiple personality disorder, but it's not a disorder in the true sense of the word, are mind fractured, either because they were abused or traumatized as a young person, or because something's happened to them a bit later in life, and the mind fractures itself to preserve itself and creates alternate versions of that individual. And we don't have the time at 1 hour and 32 seconds to go through that, but that to me is not channeling. That is not foreign entities coming into that person. That is that person creating their own personalities within themselves because it was their only means of survival. And we know from the work that Dr. Green or Dr. Black, Dr. White, aka, of course, Dr. Mengele, his work which rediscovered or repicked up on the work that had been done in Babylon, in particular in Babylon, looking at how you would control individuals through trauma. Now, when an individual is possessed by a demon, that is different from fractured personality. Demon possession, that can mean that sometimes a person can talk in another voice. Again, that's negative. Then we've got channeling. Channeling, in its true sense of the word, is the expression of consciousness through that physical person, for good or ill. We don't know. You have to look at what's been said and decide whether it's good or ill. But from what you've said, I'm going to go for the first point, and I would make that my major answer to you, that that's the case. And I often disagree with some of the New Age material, and I've never bashed away from that. The terminologies can be different, but we mean the same thing. In the New Age, or the spiritual age, it's called soul fragmentation. And only in the most rare extreme cases can a soul be fragmented. It's not unheard of, but it's incredibly rare. I change that to mind fragmentation, where many people go on a spiritual journey when they've had trauma to go back to their childhood or go back to a certain place and pick up their soul fragment and bring it back. Well, it isn't a soul fragment. You didn't leave a fragment there. And this is my opinion. This is about your mind. And I'm going to give you a good example of this. There's probably sell a few DVDs now for Christmas. 1970, a British, one of the few British musicals was created, and it was called Scrooge. I think it was British with some American assistance. And in this musical, which is, I love it, it's one of my favorite ones. I always watch it at Christmas. As you know from the story, Scrooge is visited by three ghosts: Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And it becomes clear in this particular version that Scrooge has suffered trauma as a child. And what the ghost of the past does is it takes Scrooge on a journey back to reconnect with his fractured mind. And in the actual element, you have a picture of Scrooge as a schoolboy in the school. Christmas, all the other children are going to their parents for Christmas, but we are tipped off that Scrooge's father is violent. Just a hint of that, and he's not allowed home. The father doesn't want to see him, and so he has to stay at school with the teachers. And we have this vision of Scrooge as the boy standing on the other side of a window looking out. This is absolutely classic. What the person who wrote this has a full understanding of this topic. And showing this piece, not of the soul, but of the conscious mind that has been left frozen in time, hence the winter period, I think. And so in order to heal, you have to go back, collect that, and bring it forward. So multiple personalities, in my opinion, are through trauma and mind fracture. That's a fascinating topic. Now, we've gone over the hour, but can you tell me, please, Becky, roughly how many questions have we answered today, do you know? I always aim for quite a few, 30 or so.
Rough? No, it's never that much.
Isn't
usually
it?
It's between 15 and 20.
Oh, no. Let's do a bit more then.
Today it was around about...
50.
I literally can't remember where I started.
Oh,
it's about 20.
I'm like that all the time.
I can't remember if I started on 120 or 110.
So do you think we've done about, what, 15?
20? I think we've done about 15, actually.
Should we do one more? Let's just do one
more.
Do one more.
Okay. Do you want to do your...
See, I don't even remember what I did yesterday. I want to thank people, don't I, for being really kind and donating to me. That's excellent. If you hadn't said that, I would have completely forgotten. And it isn't that it's not important, it's
that's
incredibly
okay.
important. Thank you. I was so much into the questions. The questions this time I thought were quite in depth and I had to think hard on them. Okay, I want to thank people who have supported. It was over the 4th of July period for the Americans. So for the Americans who did think about me over their holiday period, I'm really grateful. And people all over the world who've thought about me and have donated what they can to help towards me doing the work and the cause, to keep me on air, and to do things like the conference, you know, to go down and do that. So thank you to DL, Nathan, Ursula, Jason, Sheena, Olaf, Ute, Rhonda, Lillian, Alexander, Lenore, Carolyn, Mr. Gorilla, Deborah, Marguerite, Keith, David, Hannah, Leslie, Elizabeth, Celia, Carl, Chris, Lars, Rhoda, Juan, Christy, Jeff, Oliver, Marlene, Jesse, Oscar, Terry, Edelina, I think, Candice, Nick, Murray, Paul, Kimberly, Robert, Vera, Stefano, Hans, Lisa, I think that's Marina, Maria, Brenda, Gregory, Kevin, Lotus, Danielle, Glenn, Trisha, Marco, nearly finished, Medium, Raymond, Tom, Campbell, Kim, Elizabeth, Deepak, Angela, Richie, and Janet. To those of you and to anyone I've missed, thank you ever so much for thinking about me in the busy world. You've got so many other things that you have to do and other demands on you. It really does help and it really keeps me going. So God bless you. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay. Thank you, Rebecca, because if I'd not done that, I would have felt really bad about that. One more question then, and then I think we'll have a cup of tea.
Okay. The last question is from Daria, who says, "Dear Simon, I was listening to Tibetan singing bowls on headphones and fell asleep. I woke up suddenly screaming and calling my husband because something like a very big vacuum cleaner wanted to suck me in. Right. I also figured out that I was in sleep paralysis.
Right.
Has a portal opened in my bedroom?"
Right. So first of all, quickly get in there and say that what you were listening to was not negative. And you need to understand that. That's not negative. It's not evil. But what's happened is because you fell asleep, it's a bit like a television on standby. You've not detached from it. When you go into anything spiritual, you're awake and you come away from it and you're awake. But when you fall asleep, your channel's open, your carrier wave is there, you've got an open line to it. And something has come in on that and attacked you through it. Don't know about a portal opening. It's either something that's physically entered your room or something that's entered the brain pattern wave. So I don't want you not to do spiritual things, but what you must do, if you're going to do that, is put your electronic device on a timer. So if you know you're going to fall asleep, it turns off. If that tone is still going and your conscious mind is switched off, you're not able to process the reality of it. I say to people, whenever you're under attack, keep your eyes open, because you are processing physical information and you are passing that to the mind to compare. If you go to sleep, you have only one thread of information, and that can be false information. So something has used that frequency, which is good, but they've used the frequency to get to you. Your sleep paralysis, I've never believed what the doctors say on sleep paralysis. I've never personally experienced it once, but I've talked to so many people who have, And in most of those cases, there is a grey alien or there is some form of entity that's there getting into the person's mind to prevent them getting up and running away, basically. So put in a timer on this to switch itself off so that you can just go back into a normal sleep pattern. It's a good question. No one's asked me that before. So thank you. And just wrap it up now. So thank you to Becky for asking the questions and reminding me to sheet. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you for those who turned up to the Awaken Aware conference. And thank you for putting your questions in. So thanks ever so much to everyone. And speak to you soon. Bye-bye.